statistical process control, and control charts. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines statistical process control, SPC, as the application of statistical techniques to monitor and adjust an operation. This term often is used interchangeably with the term statistical quality control, SQC, although SQC includes acceptance sampling, as well as statistical process control. C. Out of control process. SPC is a method of quality control in which statistical methods are used to monitor and control a process. Monitoring and controlling the process ensures that it operates at its full potential. At its full potential, the process can make as much conforming product as possible with a minimum, if not elimination, of waste, rework, or scrap. This will impact yield. Therefore, SPC can be a strategic advantage for an organization. Organizations often use SPC and its tools, including various types of control charts, to identify the level of variation over time relative to organizational or industry standards. We introduce concepts of statistical process control next, including process capability and how SPC differs from product inspections. Control charts and their application in issue detection are discussed after that. Process capability. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines process capability as the ability of the process to produce parts that conform to engineering specifications. Process capability relates to the inherent variability of a process that is in a state of statistical control. C. CPK, process capability analysis. All processes have some variation. With processes that are said to be in control, the amount of variation will be small. In out-of-control processes, the variation will be large. Reducing variation is a key way to improve quality. A bell-shaped curve demonstrates the central tendency that most processes exhibit, with a mean, average, value as the center and the values above and below as the standard deviations or probabilities where variations occur. Exhibit 9-56 shows two bell curves, one tall and narrow, low variation from the mean, and one short and wide, significant variation from the mean. Exhibit 9-56. Bell curves with specification limits shown. Note the lower specification limit, LSL, and upper specification limit, USL. These are the cutoff points that the organization has selected as acceptable tolerance levels for variation in the given specification for the product. Specification results falling inside these limits, called within the doorway, are considered acceptable. Results falling outside the limits are rejected and require rework or become scrap. Specification limits are set by customer requirements and engineers or designers and generally are fixed. Note how in the tall narrow curve, all of the results fall inside the limits, within specifications, while the process with great variation will have many rejects, many results outside specifications. Two other terms need to be introduced at this point as well, which are seen in Exhibit 9-56. Upper control limits, UCL, and lower control limits, LCL. Basically, the UCL and LCL will always fall approximately at either end of the bell curve. It is important to differentiate between control limits and specification limits. The LSL and the USL are set by the customer and/or engineering and are product specifications. These specifications are independent of the process used to produce them, so the results are what counts, not how you got there. They are sometimes called the voice of the customer. The LCL and the UCL are set by statistical observations of standard deviations and are process specifications. They determine the degree to which the process is capable of producing results that are within specifications and are sometimes called the voice of the process. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines these terms. Control limit, a statistically determined line on a control chart. Upper control limit or lower control limit. If a value occurs outside this limit, the process is deemed to be out of control. Upper control limit, UCL, control limit for points above the central line in a control chart. Lower control limit, LCL, control limit for points below the central line in a control chart. In Exhibit 9-56, the tall narrow curve shows that this process is capable of producing results within specification limits the vast majority of the time. However, the short and wide curve shows that this process is incapable of being in control for the given specification limits. It will produce far too many rejected units. In other words, due to differences between customer/engineering expectations and the acceptable levels of rejected units in the manufacturing process for a given industry, production may be within specification limits, but outside of control limits. This would produce products within acceptable standards to sell to a customer, but due to lack of control within the process itself, the process would be likely to generate increasing numbers of products outside of specification limits as time goes on. Additional content on the difference between control and specification limits may be found in the additional online resources. A bell curve is more formally called a normal distribution because it takes samples, actual data observation points, and generates a pattern that smooths out, normalizes, the actual results, the distribution, to generalize how this pattern would look for the entire population, all possible results. Most manufacturing processes that are operating under control conditions will exhibit a bell curve, and most naturally occurring processes will show a similar distribution around the mean, such as the distribution of student grades around the average result. Extrapolation of data into these curves helps show two things more easily than studying the raw data: the range and the standard deviation. The range is the difference between the largest and smallest observed values, or the width of the curve. The standard deviation shows how tall and narrow or short and wide the curve is. Range and standard deviation are also called the spread to indicate the level of variability. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines spread as follows: variability of an action. It is often measured by the range or standard deviation of a particular dimension. The Greek symbol sigma, is used to represent a standard deviation. Standard deviations indicate the likelihood of where a result will fall under the curve. A result will fall within 1 standard deviation, 1 SD or 1 sigma of the average 68.3% of the time, 2 standard deviations, 2 SD or 2 sigma of the average 95.4% of the time, 3 standard deviations, 3 SD or 3 sigma of the average 99.7% of the time. This rule is often referred to as the 6-8-95-9-9-7 rule, or the empirical rule, in statistics. What constitutes one standard deviation does not change. However, one standard deviation can be expressed as a certain number of units. If this value is large, the process will have wide variation. If it is small, the process will have narrow variation. The same thing can be done with anything being measured, such as the diameter of a shaft in millimeters or the number of dents in a return product. Considering an example of dented products, fewer dents are always good. So there would be no lower specification limit. It would be zero. There would be only an upper specification limit, too many dents, which would probably be set at one. We need to look at a different example for a process that would have upper and lower specification limits. Exhibit 9-57 shows an example of variation in the diameters of hydraulic cylinders for door closers, illustrating only specification limits and not control limits for simplicity. These cylinders need to be very precise to provide the right hydraulic pressure without leaking, too small, or failing to fit in the housing, too large. Exhibit 9-57. Statistical process control with shift in mean. Note here that the specification limits are set at 5.99 and 6.01 millimeters, and the mean is 6 millimeters. This is the product mean produced by the process as it is intended to operate, and as it operated when it was established. However, the current actual observations tell a different story. Here the mean has shifted to about 6.0035 millimeters. The results are still within the specification limits. However, the shift in the mean is an example of something that should be investigated further. Out of control is defined as outside the control limits. The control limits for this example are 5.994 millimeters to 6.006 millimeters. So this process is designed to operate well within specifications. The process is in control based on this criterion. If the process cannot stay in control and avoid other issues, such as a sustained shift in the mean, a new process is needed, for example, new equipment. SPC versus product inspection. Lean considers product inspection to be a form of waste. This is because inspection of finished goods detects only defects. In other words, failure to conform to a particular specification limit well after its occurrence. At this point, determining the root cause of the defect may be difficult or impossible. Thus, it adds no value for the customer and isn't preventive. Statistical process control, on the other hand, monitors manufacturing processes against statistical control limits, such as a process used at a work center to manufacture a part, because it detects when processes are getting out of control. Corrective action can be taken as a preventive measure against defects. SPC therefore adds value for the customer in terms of less variability and shorter lead times, for example, due to lesser work and scrap. Control charts. Organizations use SPC methods to identify variation and the level of adherence to organizational or industry standards using control charts. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines a control chart as a graphic comparison of process performance data with predetermined computed control limits. The process performance data usually consists of groups of measurements selected in the regular sequence of production that preserve the order. The primary use of control charts is to detect assignable causes of variation in the process as opposed to random variations. The control chart is one of the 7 tools of quality. SIN, Process Control Chart. A control chart is based on a series of samples taken over time. An assumption is that all samples are taken from the same process, that is, that the setup, materials, and other conditions are standardized. Control chart components may include the following elements: mean, central tendency. This is where the process typically tends to run. It may or may not be ideal. Data point. This is a sample of measurements taken at a specific time. Sample averages are determined and plotted, as they show a change in variation faster than a single discrete sample. While the bell curves shown earlier have the mean at the center and the limits to the left and right, control charts are turned sideways so they can show results over time as well as lower and upper control limits. Control charts are used to visualize and measure process variation. Exhibit 9-58 and Exhibit 9-59 show two types of control charts developed for the same set of observations, an X-bar chart, pronounced X-bar, for the sample mean and an R chart for the range of variation in the samples. Exhibit 9-58, X-bar chart showing sample mean. Exhibit 9-59, R chart showing sample range. An X-bar is a mathematical notation expressing the mean of a sample, to distinguish it from the mean of an entire population, such as the sample output of a work center. Often, a sample consists of several units, 3 to 9 are common, and the average result of the sample is plotted on the chart. Samples, rather than individual observations, are used because samples tend to be faster at revealing changes in variations. Also, the sampling process might destroy the product, or there may be too many units to sample all of them. An X-bar chart will show the population mean at the center and the control limits at the top and the bottom. The sample observation means are placed on the chart at each observation period and are connected by lines to show upward or downward movement. Note the upper control limit, UCL, and the lower control limit, LCL, in Exhibit 9-58. Unlike the specification limits, control limits are established by statistical observation of variability rather than being arbitrary. Control limits are typically set at plus or minus 3 standard deviations from the mean. Thus, if the process is in control, the samples will fall within the control limits 99.7% of the time. The specification limits might be set at the same level or be tighter or looser, depending on customer and engineering requirements. Exhibit 9-60, Statistical Process Control with Shift in Mean. Note that the histogram in Exhibit 9-60 shows the individual measurements against their specification limits of 5.990 to 6.010 millimeters, whereas the control chart shows the sample averages against their statistically calculated control limits of 5.994 to 6.006 millimeters. In this case, the specification limits for the product fall outside the control limits for the process. Note that the histogram shows results only from days 10 through 18 as shown in the Exhibit 9-58 and Exhibit 9-59 control charts, the second half of the time period being charted. The histogram was made just to study the area where the shift in mean occurred. An R chart is used to plot the range of results. The range represents the highest reading minus the lowest reading for the specification, so it is basically a method of showing the range of variation that exists in the samples. These readings are gathered by measuring each unit of the small sample of 3 to 9 units. Exhibit 9-61 shows the measurements taken, in millimeters, for each of the 9 samples for the first 2 days shown in the charts above. Exhibit 9-61. Excerpt of data used for hydraulic cylinder example. For day 1, the highest recorded diameter is 6.005 millimeters, and the lowest diameter is 5.994 millimeters. The range is calculated by subtracting the lowest value from the highest value. This is recorded on the R chart for that time period. The same range is calculated for day 2, even though not all the measurements in between are the same. The upper control limit for the R chart is 0.0205 millimeters, which is determined by calculating the maximum range that can be found within 3 standard deviations, or within 99.7% of results. A range for a particular set of samples greater than 0.0205 millimeters would imply that there is such a high amount of variation in the samples that the process is out of control. There is no lower control limit for an R chart, since no variation in the samples would be desirable. Because none of the points in the control charts in Exhibit 9-58 and Exhibit 9-59 go outside their respective control limits, the process can be said to be in control based on these criteria. However, the upward trend in cylinder diameters indicates that this process should be reviewed. Note that the R chart does not show this shift in mean. This is why studying both types of charts is important. They show different information. The R chart instead shows when the samples have too much variation. A third type of control chart is a P chart. A P chart is a percentage chart that can be used to show percentages of sample averages exhibiting a given characteristic as tracked over time. If the same data were used, a P chart would closely resemble the corresponding X bar chart, but rather than a numeric scale, it would display a percentage variation from the mean on the side, and the upper and lower control limits would be translated into equivalent percentages. One key benefit of using a P chart is that the sample size can vary between samples, but the resulting percentages will take this into account and still be comparable. To illustrate this, take another scenario where sample sizes might vary considerably. For example, a control chart can be used to track the number of non-conforming units in total. In this case, since the number of rejects can be determined precisely without sampling, the number of units produced in total can be used as the sample size. Exhibit 9-62 shows a P-chart for the number of defective door closers per week, for example, those rejected during the manufacturing process. Exhibit 9-62, P-chart for total defective door closers. In this example, weeks 1, 3, and 8 were 4-day work weeks, and the remainders were 5-day work weeks. During the short weeks, fewer closers were produced, so the output units will differ across weeks. Due to variations such as this, viewing just the total number of defects in units would be deceptive. In a P-chart, however, each week's percentage is individually calculated based on its unique sample size in the time period. In this way, the defect rate can be comparable across weeks. The upper control limit is again determined statistically, here based on 3 standard deviations from the mean. In this case, the defects are well within tolerance. However, the upper specification limit might be set at a lower rate. This example has no lower control limit because 0 defects is always desirable. Control charts for detecting non-random events in a production process include the C-chart for actual counts of nonconformities, defects, per standardized unit, or the U-chart for the average number of counts of nonconformities per an average sample size and average unit area of opportunity. An area of opportunity is the relevant product dimension or other measure that exposes the product to the given defect. For dents on a refrigerator, this area would be the product's visible external dimensions. For the C-chart, the units being sampled need to be identical in their area of opportunity for the particular defect being analyzed, such as the same size or volume dimensions. This could be a single product in a product family that is make to stock, a standard purchase order format for purchase order errors, and so on. If a sample is used, the sample size needs to be identical for each set. For the U-chart, various models could be analyzed in general by factoring in the relative sample area of opportunity to the equation. Also, the number of units sampled could differ per set because an average is used here too. This adaptation makes for like-to-like defect count comparisons between different unit types. Otherwise, these charts serve the same function: to characterize the number of defects per unit. To continue the example, this could be considering dents on mini fridges as well by determining the average size difference of a given mini fridge model's relevant surface area in comparison to the full-size refrigerator. For example, 0.25 of the surface area of a full-size fridge. The formulas for calculating the upper and lower control limits for these charts help illustrate the differences between the two methods. In these equations, the plus or minus sign shown would use the plus amount for the upper control limit value and the minus amount for the lower control limit value. If the lower control limit value would calculate to be a negative number, 0 is instead used for the lower control limit, for example, 0 nonconformities. There are only 2 differences between these equations. The first difference is that for the C-chart, it is the process average number of nonconformities per sample set since the set size is standardized, while for the U-chart it is the process average number of nonconformities per unit since the set size can be allowed to differ. The second difference is that for the U-chart, the average number of conformities per unit is divided by the average sample size to provide a like-to-like comparison of defects across different unit types. Let's look at an example of a C-chart for our commercial door manufacturer. Workcenter 130 is a door frame spot welding station for their make-to-stock family of door, single door size frame model. Each frame is identical. Each hour at Workcenter 130, three units are placed in an inspection jig that checks spot welding for weld spatter, scratches, or hardware punch errors. The operator tallies the total nonconformities for each unit. Assume that in an 8-hour shift, for each consecutive hour, here are the average nonconformity counts recorded for each sample set of three frames. Hour 1, 7 nonconformities. Hour 2, 4 nonconformities. Hour 3, 3 nonconformities. Hour 4, 6 nonconformities. Hour 5, 4 nonconformities. Hour 6, 5 nonconformities. Hour 7, 12 nonconformities. Hour 8, 15 nonconformities. The sum of these nonconformities is 56. The calculation for C-bar, which is the mean, is 56/8 equals 7 average nonconformities. 8 is the number of hours used in this average. It could be the number of units tested, etc. The UCL and LCL are calculated as follows, rounded. Exhibit 9-63 shows the resulting C-chart. Exhibit 9-63. C-chart for count of nonconformities on standard size and sample items. In this control chart, hour 8 has 15 nonconformities, which exceeds the UCL of 14.9. The work done in this hour should be investigated to determine potential root causes. For example, this may mean that the welding equipment requires some corrective maintenance after hour 7, or possibly after hour 6. A U-chart looks very similar, only it uses the alternate formula shown earlier. Exhibit 9-64 shows a U-chart for mini fridges that have 0.25 of the surface area of the full-size refrigerators. The data on nonconformities per hour is sampled and looks like this. Hour 1, 2 average nonconformities. Hour 2, 2 nonconformities. Hour 3, 1 nonconformities. Hour 4, 4 nonconformities. Hour 5, 1 nonconformities. Hour 6, 2 nonconformities. Hour 7, 6 nonconformities. Hour 8, 8 nonconformities. The sum of these is 26, and the average of these is 3.25. Because the square root is taken of this average divided by the 0.25 size difference, this helps the data shown here to be comparable to the data shown in the C-chart. Exhibit 9-64. U-chart for count of process average number of nonconformities per unit. Application. The positions of the points as observed in these various control charts will show if special causes of variation are present. Organizations set up rules for interpreting control charts, often following those established by L.D. Nelson. Nelson represents the three sigmas, standard deviations, as zones A, B, and C on the control chart. Zone C, within one sigma. Zone B, within two sigmas. Zone A, within three sigmas. UCL and LCL, three sigmas. Below are four examples of Nelson's eight tests for special causes. 1 point beyond zone A, outside of the UCL or LCL. 9 or more points in a row above the mean, or 9 plus below the mean. 6 points in a row steadily increasing or decreasing. 4 out of 5 points in a row in zone B or beyond, in the same direction. If these or the other four of these tests, not shown, are true, the process would probably be considered to be out of control. The organizations can choose which rules should apply to which process. Exhibit 9-65 shows some examples of in control versus out of control. Exhibit 9-65, in control versus two examples of violations of Nelson's rules. Exhibit 9-66 revisits the X-bar chart for the hydraulic cylinder diameters as an example of looking for violations of Nelson's rules. Exhibit 9-66, X-bar chart showing sample mean. In this case, there are 9 consecutive points on one side of the mean, starting at day 10. So, while no item is outside of the control limits, according to Nelson's rules, the process is still out of control. It has special causes of variation that need to be addressed. Exhibit 9-67 revisits the R chart for the same data, indicating the range of variation within the samples. Exhibit 9-67, R chart showing sample range. This process is in control in terms of its sample range. If the range for a particular set of samples had been greater than 0.0205 millimeters, this would imply such a high amount of variation in the samples that the process was out of control.